One moonlit night, a fox was prowling about a farmer's chicken coop and saw a hen roosting high up beyond his reach. Good news," he cried. "Why, what is that?" said the hen. "King Lion has declared a universal truce. No beast may hurt a bird henceforth, but all shall dwell together in brotherly and sisterly friendship." "Why, that is good news," said the hen. "And there I see something and someone coming with whom we can share these good tidings." And so saying, she craned her neck forward and looked far off. "What is it you see?" said the fox. "It's only my master's dog that's coming toward us." "What? Going so soon?" she continued as the fox began to turn away. "Will you not stop and congratulate the dog on the reign of universal peace?" "I would gladly do so," said the fox, "but I fear he may not have heard the King Lion's decree." This is a traditional fable by Aesop.
That's right, Aesop's fable.
And does anyone know what the moral of the fable is? If you've heard this one before. The moral is, cunning often outwits itself. Now, there are parallels between this fable and our gospel story for today. And if we stretch our imagination as if we were reading C.S. Lewis's stories of Narnia, Herod is, of course, the fox, that's right. And Jesus
is the mother
hen. Yeah. And perhaps John the Baptist is the dog. And the King Lion, like Aslan, is God.
That's right.
Now, although the fox lied to the hen about King Lion's decree of universal peace, we know a different story from God. The truth is that the kingdom of God is at hand, and it is present in deep and surprising ways, despite evidence to the contrary. Contrary to peace that we have seen in the world, especially this week. How often do we use the term mother hen, though, when we refer to a person who is especially nurturing and protective of those they love? What an interesting metaphor that Jesus uses in this gospel reading. Can you just picture one of Linda's hens representing the love and protection of God? I don't think I'll not think that the next time we bless the animals. God wishing to gather God's children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. Now, a hen is probably not the first thing that comes to mind when we think of a protective animal. We would sooner imagine a lion or a fierce bird of prey, something with fangs or talons. Yet the lowly chicken is the image that Jesus chooses to demonstrate this relationship between God and us. God, the mother hen, calls to us to the safety of the nest, underneath those downy wings, behind the heart that beats beneath her vulnerable breast. There is power in this image. Power tied to Abram's covenant with God, and power tied with strength in vulnerability and with relationship. Today, fear is our fuel. Fear of those who are different, maybe different faiths, sexual orientation, skin color, etc., etc. Fear of death, fear of our own shortcomings, and the fear of the things that we value might be taken away from us. And in response to fear, we do things like we write contracts. Contracts for services, rental contracts, contracts for employment, prenuptial contracts. And as wonderful and as helpful as a will can be, they too are contracts to make sure the people and the things we value will be cared about in the way that we want them to be when we are
gone.
Contracts are about legal protection within relationships. And contracts are vastly different than a covenant, and most especially a covenant with God. When Abram creates the covenant with God in our reading today, he is executing an ancient practice. A covenant ratified in blood is all-encompassing. If you were to make a covenant with your
best friend today,
it would mean that everything that belonged to them also belonged to you and vice versa. Now, if your friend happened to have a mansion and a heap of creditors hounding them, then guess what? You've got that too. A contract would protect you from the bad, but a covenant guarantees that you are in relationship, and if one goes down, you both go down. But on the flip side, that also means if one succeeds, then the other does too. Now, God has established covenants with a variety of people and under a variety of circumstances. With Noah, the rainbow promising that God would never again destroy the earth with a flood. With Abram, through animal sacrifice, and later as Abraham, through circumcision. With Mary, through the blood that came with birthing Jesus, and Jesus himself, who sets his face towards Jerusalem so that his blood can become another tie that binds us. Jesus knew his identity as a prophet and the Son of God. He tells the Pharisees, "Go and tell that fox, 'Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day,'" a little foreshadow, "I finish my work. Yet today and tomorrow and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem." Jesus knows the stakes of being what he is, and yet he follows God's call to him. He sees the role of God as one of mother hen, gathering her brood under her protective wings, safe from the ravages of the foxes of life. In Luke's time, that meant not just Jerusalem or Israel, but the Gentiles as well. Like the Pharisees and the Sadducees that Jesus encounters, we are often not willing to be gathered in with people that are not like us. Instead of taking our chances, we take our chances elsewhere. After all, birds of a feather and all that. Gentiles? I don't know. Now, who among us would not consider that those gathered in the mosque of Christchurch, New Zealand this past week, in the vulnerable and sacred security, who would not consider them one of us? One of our own descending from the same Abraham that we are today. Birds of a feather, equal in all ways and beloved by God. We think we are truly free, but instead are even more at risk and vulnerable to the sly seductions of the foxes, perpetuating the evil of discrimination amongst us. Now, if you're familiar with what happens when a fox gets into a hen house, then you know that most times the mother hen herds her chicks under her wings for protection and bares her breast so that the fox must kill her first before it can get to her chicks. Brutal imagery in the light of this week. But as we look at Jesus' metaphor for himself in Luke's gospel, we can see it is the only defense that she has. Later there will be a flutter of feathers and motherless chicks running around, but at least they are alive. Though their mother may be dead, they are given the chance to live. Again, more foreshadowing. This is the image that Jesus chose to bring to us. Our covenant with God means that everything of God's is also ours, even Jesus, God's own Son. The season of Lent is a time of repentance and a time to consider what it means to be in covenant, in a vulnerable life with a vulnerable God. We learn that faith grows through use. As our vulnerable God meets us in the uncertainties of our lives, the more we understand the strength that actually comes not from our power, but from our vulnerability. Lent is about letting go of our false sense of power to live this type of faith each day. When we receive the cross of ashes on our forehead on Ash Wednesday, it reminded us exactly how vulnerable and human we are in the world. We are called to something more than living for ourselves and satisfying our contracts. We are called to so much more than our own self-preservation. God is not the belly, as it says in Philippians. Our God is the vulnerable yet relentlessly loving mother who wishes to protect her children from the harm that is the sly fox living amongst us, and perhaps even in our own hearts. And so our God, in Jesus, has set his face towards Jerusalem, to go where he must, to accomplish what he has been ordained to, for the sake of love, and for all of our sake. In our baptism, we are marked by the cross of Christ and sealed by the Holy Spirit as Christ's own forever. We are charged with an imperative call to love like that mother hen who opens her wings wide and exposes her heart to the foxes of the world in the hope that our loved ones might live in the light of our vulnerability. We are called to love like people who are in covenant with God. A fierce and trusting love that encompasses all which God possesses. When we live in trust this way, without the fear that we are somehow in danger of losing anything, of anyone taking what is ours, we will know the reign of universal peace, the kind that might be prescribed in this Franciscan blessing that I'm going to leave you with. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and to turn their pain into joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in the world, so that you can do what others claim cannot be done. And may the peace of God and the God of peace be with you forevermore. Amen.